You're listening to the Walt Weekly Podcast with our host, Walter Latham, and our co-host, Michelle Sweeney McCombs. Voices in Society Impacting the Culture.
Hello, and thanks for joining the Walt Weekly Podcast Live. I am Walter Latham, your host, along with your co-host, Michelle Sweeney McCombs. We hope that you all have had a positive, safe, and creative week. Today's show title, Vote or Shut the F Up. Yeah, yes, I said it, and I mean it. This is one of the many tools we have in our toolkit, and we have to use it. In the upcoming weeks leading up to Election Day, we will be talking about the vote as part of our overall show. All right, it's going to be have to push it. We're going to say things like, you know, did you sign your envelope? Did you use the drop box? Did you mail your ballot? Are you planning on going to the polling place? Do you know where it is? I mean, that should be planned out. And we're just going to continue to remind everyone that listens to this show that voting is front and center at this time. And did you put a stamp on your envelope? Because we mailed ours a couple of days ago, and I put two stamps up there just to make sure. And then took it to the post office and put it in the box. Also, we're going to bug you about completing the census today and why it's so critical that everyone does it, completes the census. And there's been a lot of news, you know, the VB debates, Trump's COVID-19 diagnosis, the attempted kidnap of a governor, the conspiracy to kidnap a governor. So there's a lot. And we have a special guest with us today, who Michelle will be introducing. And we have, two of our key panel members with us today. So we got a lot to discuss. And without further delay, but prior to that, I want y'all guys to like, share, join, subscribe, so that we can maintain and bring you the news that we need to bring you, that we think is important, and that we believe is important for you. All right. So anyway, without further delay, here's Michelle, and she's going to introduce our guest and our panel. Michelle?
Thank you, Walter. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Walt Weekly's Friday Live. Thank you to our weekly audience for your support and following and sharing the Walt Weekly podcast. This week's topic, as Walter had previously stated, vote or shut the bleep up. Today's guests, they have graced our podcast before with their knowledge on previous shows. Today we have on our live Gene Edwards, Male District Leader, 79th District of the Bronx, New York. We also have Greg Coleman out of North Carolina, CEO of Illumination Media and Technology. We have Mr. Ernest J. Robinson out of Washington, D.C. He's a senior consultant for Be Earnest Leadership and professional consultant. I will be monitoring the message board for audience questions and participation, and my co-host Walter will take the wheel with the questions for our panel guests. But before we get started with that, please, panel, briefly reintroduce yourselves, starting with Greg, Ernest, and then Gene.
Good afternoon. I'm Greg Coleman. I'm in Greensboro, North Carolina, and like Michelle said, I'm in media and media design, Illumination Media and Technology, but also take part in a voter information drive at WeMakingADifference.com. And all we're about is getting people to vote.
Yeah. Yes. Good evening, everyone. It's a pleasure always to grace this show. My name is Ernest Robinson. I'm here in the D.C. area. I am a political activist, leadership and professional development consultant, where I do a lot of training across the country as it pertains to leadership and professional developing, as well as political and civic engagement. And a lot of people can find a lot of my information on www.b-earnest.org. And again, just glad to be here and looking forward to this conversation.
Thank you for that. Okay, Gene.
Good evening. And good evening. Thank you for inviting me back because you could have called someone else. It didn't have to be me. So, you know, I'm always grateful to be on this show with you and Walter. Also like to say hello and good evening to the other panel members, Greg and Ernest. I am the male district leader for the 79th Assembly District here in the Bronx. I'm in the South Bronx. My district covers, it covers the courthouse all the way up to the botanical garden. And there are roughly slightly over 140,000 residents within the 79th Assembly District. And I believe it was Ernest that said that I advocate for voter registration and census taking and the overall wellness of all the residents within the 79th. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
We're honored to have you. And thanks for coming back. So let's talk about, you know, voter registration and where we are. Now, where are we now in terms of voter registration and end dates? Is for New York State, is today the last day for voter registration? And I'm going to direct that to Gene.
Yes, Walter, today is the last day. And I just recently, prior to joining the podcast, I posted on Facebook with the link to do it online because I don't think people are really going to mail at this time of the day. But today is the last day if they would like to participate in the general election.
All right, and what is your and you said you posted that on Facebook or?
Yes.
And
it's a public post, so any and everyone can see it.
Okay, could you give us that information?
Sure, it's my full name, Gene, G-E-N-E, mm-hmm. Anthony Edwards Jr.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. So we don't have much time. What time is now? I mean, that's up until, but it just has to be postmarked for today. Is that correct? Or that link, that's a link online registration.
Yes, they have to do it today. They have to do it this evening. They have to do it right now.
Yeah,
I don't like to give people end dates, Walter. And actually, I spoke to Michelle about this earlier this afternoon, and we laughed about it. The reason why I don't like to give people end dates is because people will wait until the very last second to act on things. So when they say, well, when's the deadline? I say tomorrow, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So, I'm the same way. Okay.
Yeah, don't wait that last second.
All right, what about down in North Carolina? All right, and this is directed to Greg. Greg, what about y'all guys? Last day of voter registration?
The last day, see, I'm supposed to be prepared for that, but I know it's next week, actually.
Oh, it's okay.
And I'm going to get the exact date for you.
No. Mm-hmm. No, North Carolina voter registration finishes today. The state is allowing registration during the early voting period, which is October 15th. So the actual date is today. So I think to Gene's point, by giving them an end date, that pushes it off. But because North Carolina has early vote, they're able to vote, to register up until the 15th through October 31st.
Okay.
So it ends today, and then the early voting period is the 15th through the 31st.
Okay.
That's good to know.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. And what about people in your district, Ernest? I mean, not district, but your general area, whether that be, you know, I know you're near Washington, D.C., but, you know, could you speak a little bit about the time frames on that?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. So Virginia last day to register to vote is actually the 13th. And to that point, as it relates to Maryland, Maryland is the 13th as well. They will, there are no extensions that have been currently announced. And early voting opens up on October 26th through November 2nd. And then in D.C., considering I'm here as well, the last day for voter registration is the last day voters can register is in person is October 14th. So for the District of Columbia, and then October 10th is tomorrow for those who live in Delaware. But it'd be important for everyone to make sure that they check their state and local rules, as there have been some extensions that have been made, and circumstances because of COVID. But it's very important that, one, I think to Gene's point, do not wait. Make sure everything is in. And also, too, understand that if you do mail it in, you have to give it enough time to actually be counted. So you don't want to wait until the last minute. So I think, Walt, to your point about taking it to the post office is also a good thing. And if you need to take it to the voter registrar's office, then take it to the voter registrar's office so you can mitigate anyone interfering at all with this process.
Okay.
That's great.
Gene, I got the next something I wanted to ask you, and it also applies to this applies to the ballot itself. All right. We filled out our ballot. We made sure it was signed. We double-checked it, took it to the post office and everything. Is there anything such as too early to cast an absentee ballot, or once you get it, you can fill it out and then post it, send it to the post office or drop it off? Is there anything that is what you call early, too early?
It's funny. I had to attend a homegoing service early this afternoon, and two of my frat brothers were there, and they requested to vote by mail, absentee, and they said that they received their ballot this week, early this week, and that they had already filled it out and mailed it back in.
Yeah, we did that.
Yeah. So, no, there's no such thing as voting too early. Once you receive your ballot, go ahead and do it.
But
I will say this. Like I said earlier, for those that like to wait until the last possible second to act, know this. If you're voting by absentee ballot, it has to be postmarked by the date of the general election, which is November 3rd. Anything that gets mailed after November 3rd will be declared invalid. So the listening audience needs to take notice of that and govern themselves accordingly.
Okay. Thank you.
I just want to add something to that as it relates to voter registration. So in Florida, they shut down the website hours before the deadline. It was on the day, but they shut it down hours before the deadline and have yet to release any extensions. So I think, again, it can't be said enough to Gene's point, like, do not wait until the last minute. Don't wait until the last day, because then you give somebody an opportunity to for something to crash, something to go wrong.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So
as the British would say, let's chomp forward, chomp on. I think that was it. Let's push on, whatever. But anyway, the delivery methods for ballots, completed ballots. All right, I'm going to speak to New York first, and I'm going to direct this to Gene. All right, so you can drop it at the mail, like mail it. Do you have drop boxes in New York? Just, you know, voter drop boxes. You just drop the ballot in. Do we have those in the Bronx and other boroughs?
Yeah, I'm back. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. Yes. I didn't see any drop boxes for ballots within my district. In fact, when I saw it on the news, I believe it was the state of North Carolina. When I saw the drop boxes, I was like, "Wow, that's a novel idea. You know, how come we're not doing it around here?" But you know, we're just doing it by U.S. mailboxes right now.
Okay. And what about Greg? What about down in North Carolina?
There are definitely drop boxes located throughout the state. County by county, it varies.
Okay. There's no one standard. Okay. Okay.
No.
I know that the reason I brought that up is that that was something that issue that was going back and forth a month or so ago about the post office removing drop boxes or the Board of Elections removing drop boxes from certain areas. All right. Which would force people to, you know, to go into the polling place. So I did hear something along those lines that maybe it's not, it's a non-issue now. Okay. So, all right.
I know a lot of folks, and again, the discussions about drop boxes were, I mean, a lot of the sentiment here is number one, they don't even trust that process. So it's again growing and growing, you know, that folks are just going to fight it and just go in person.
Okay. Anybody else have any comments on drop boxes?
Yeah, well, so there has been voter intimidation is something that is prevalent, I think, in most areas across the country. We've had individuals who have been met with large, ruckus crowds when they try to do the early vote. I've had a young lady report that she was, in fact, it was an elderly lady, a young lady who was trying to do the early vote at a drop box, and she wore her mask, but there was somebody who was an agitator who was actually standing without his mask on near the drop box. So as a way to dissuade individuals from actually putting their ballot in the box itself. So those are, I mean, there's different ways. The security is also an issue. And part of the thing is not necessarily to dissuade people from putting in the drop box itself and going to the polls. They just want you to not vote at all. So yeah, that's the thing, right? Yeah. It intimidates you from voting at all, period. So it's one of those things we have to be mindful of and seek counsel if you or help in any, or make sure you report any incident that takes place that you may perceive as any type of intimidation factor as it relates to voting.
Good point. Okay. I agree.
All right. And how would you go about reporting that? Would it just be a regular police issue, or would you report it to the Board of Elections, or
yes.
How would you go about reporting?
Yeah. So okay. One, there are in many cases, especially on election day, there are voter protectors that are out there. Many of them are lawyers. Some are practicing lawyers. Some are in law school. And then you can actually volunteer to be a protector on that day. But yes, to your point, you would call the Board of Elections and make sure you give a clear account of what took place, what happened. If it is an assault or anything of that nature, then I would do both the Board of Elections and a police report.
All right. All right. Great. Okay.
Welcome. Sorry, real quick. Was that Ernest that was speaking, or Greg?
Yes, Ernest.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that on television this morning. I believe it was Good Morning America. That organization, I believe, is called the Election Protection. And it's like what Ernest said, it's a team of attorneys that investigate election fraud. So, you know, to the listening audience, you may want to Google the Election Protection Team. And I'm sure there are plenty of hyperlinks that will pop up where you could go ahead and you could, further delve into what Ernest was speaking about concerning voter fraud. Thank you for that, Ernest.
Ernest, yeah. What state did you say that was in?
No, it's actually, well, I'm physically in the state of Virginia. Mm-hmm. And one account took place here in Virginia.
Okay.
That's just one particular account. But there are others that would be, that you will find across the country in different areas. And the purpose in me mentioning it is because if it goes unreported, then it seems like it's a one-off. It seems like it's not happening. And that's where we'll find out what really happened after Election Day, and that's not what we're trying to do right now. The objective is we're going to meet people intellectually that are trying to be emotional about situations, and so that way we can take care of business the way it's supposed to be. So we don't have to sit there and look back and say, well, I could have did this or I could have done that. So yes, election protection is a group. However, your state and locality, one, should have individuals who are able to go out there, especially on Election Day, and be there to ensure. And basically what their job is to make sure that, one, no one's turning you away for your ID. If you don't have an ID, making sure that you get a provisional ballot, making sure that provisional ballot is taken. You know, so there's a number of things that they're out there to do to enforce in such a way. I mean, they're observers, so they're not law enforcement or anything like that. They're not arresting anybody, but they're there to make sure they protect your right to vote. And if you need that protection to be at these drop boxes or polling locations, then contact your Board of Elections. And I think all of this, too, as we go through this conversation, would lend to the fact that we need to be more proactive in this way. Many of us are looking things up right now. Many of us are just reacting to this. And that's OK. It's OK because it is what it is at the moment. But now that we know, we got to do better.
OK, I agree 100%. All right. I mean, that leads up to the next thing I want to talk about is, I know all of y'all guys are involved heavily in getting out the vote. All right. And just could you tell me how y'all guys are you ramping up? Are you operating? Are you seeing that, you know, at what you would describe it as peak participation compared to previous elections? What are y'all guys seeing in terms of getting out the vote when people are being active in trying to vote this election period? I'm going to direct that to Gene first, please.
Well, it's going to be awesome in that it's going to be an extremely large turnout compared to 2016. I actually campaigned hard for Hillary Clinton. I did phone banking, with door knocking and everything. And on Election Day, I walked throughout my district, and the people that I was walking with, I said to them, "It looks like a ghost town. I'm afraid it looks like a ghost town." But no, you're going to see people coming out on for both sides. Because remember, the Trump supporters want him back in office just as bad as we want him out, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So it's not going to be a landslide on anyone's part. In fact, we probably won't find out who the president is until Thanksgiving, by the time they finish counting all the absentee ballots and affidavits and things of that nature. I don't think anybody's going to reach that magic number of 270, you know, within the Electoral College and be declared the winner that night. It's not going to happen. But it's going to be exciting. There's a lot of excitement. You know, no one so far that I've encountered has said to me, "Oh, my vote doesn't count. I don't really care. Doesn't make a difference who's in office. It's going to be the same." Like, I haven't encountered that. You know,
good.
I live in an all Democratic district. So right now it's all about Biden Harris here in the South Bronx. Thank you.
All right. Great. Great. Does anybody else in the panel, Ernest, y'all guys want to speak to that? Deal with that question?
Yeah. I've been working on. So I've worked on presidential candidate campaigns since 2011. I started in 2011. So I did that campaign, and I did the campaign in 2016 as well. As far as the turnout goes, I'm leery because of COVID. And it's just depending on what transpires over the next couple of weeks. I know that in 2008, and in 2012, the turnout was massive, but we weren't dealing with the pandemic at the time. Right. As it relates to like activities around it, I'm actually trying to do a skate party. So instead of Souls to the Pole, it was Roll to the Pole. Trying to engage younger voters. And as well as those, I mean, because I know Gene said you in South Bronx. I mean, I used to go skate at the Key back in the day. And so I'm trying to get that vibe going and get people excited about it despite the circumstances that are around it. So despite any intimidation, despite COVID, we'll make sure we're safe, we'll make sure we're social distance, but we got to make sure that we vote. And so make sure that we're repeating that. And if it can happen in New York, and if it can happen in Jersey, and if it can happen in North Carolina, cause I know they still got some skating rinks in those areas. And I think that it would be a great opportunity to be able to have these engaging conversations while doing a, an activity, mm-hmm. Leading up to these leading up to the election.
By any means necessary.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's it. All right. I did want to talk about, from what I understand, I think everybody is moving in the right direction. There's been, when y'all guys did a contrast between, let's say, 2016 and now, you're seeing a major difference trending upwards in terms of participation. So I'm going to move on to this other question that I have for y'all guys. Can we do between now and then to increase, young people to turn out? And y'all guys just mentioned that, so that's a dead issue for me right now. All right, but if you come across a person that says, "Okay, voting is a waste of time," and I think someone indicated that earlier, and they know that this is just only, something that is not going to be counted. But I want to say, and I'm going to say it again, that voting is only, one arrow in your quiver, okay? And this is a fight for our future. So voting is only a salvo in our pursuit for equality. That's what we have right now. We have that vote. And I think that's one of the strongest things we have, besides some economic things and things of that nature that we want to push forward. But right now, we have to vote. All right, and I'm saying this to the audience because I think that the people on this, the people that are participating in this in this podcast, we know. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to move on to a different topic. But Michelle, you want to say anything about voting, or before we move on?
Well, if she doesn't, I think she dropped off right quick. I would like to say this, and I think that it comes full circle when everyone's able to be home and watch the things that we're able to see, the news cycles and everything else. The vote itself, it counts for much more than just the president of the United States. It's your House of Representatives. It's your senator. It's your state senator, your state representative, your mayor, your governor. The whole nine. Everything is on the ballot to include, and this is one thing that's important as well, to include amendments to the Constitution. Each state has its own constitution. Again, I'm speaking to the choir for those who may be on the panel, but every state has its own constitution. And so therefore, there are amendments that may have been made in their laws, ordinances that may also be applicable to your locality. Those govern things like Terry versus, the Terry stops and your music and everything else. So all of those things, even down to your taxes, all of those things are on the ballot when you're talking about. So it's important that when we engage individuals, one, find out what their pain point is. Okay, what matters to them. Some people have a number of things that matter to them. Some people only have but one thing. But everybody has something that matters to them. And I think it's important for us that know to have enough knowledge to being able to figure out what that pain point is, figure out what that is, and then point them in that direction and make that their motivation to the reason why they're going to vote.
True. Very true. Well said, Ernest. Because
Walter, real quick.
Yeah.
Just to add on to what Ernest said, when he talked about the Terry matters, for those that are not familiar with this case, it's Terry v. Ohio, or Terry versus Ohio. in this case, and they made it to the Supreme Court. In this case, a gentleman who by the last name was Terry was stopped by police because the police suspected that he had a gun on him. But in fact, he wasn't armed, but he did have other paraphernalia on him. So the case of Terry v. Ohio, the reason why it made it to the Supreme Court was they tried to charge him with the other paraphernalia. But that's not why you stopped me. Because, see, the NYPD had stopped question and frisk for many years in New York City. And it affected low-income communities, specifically communities of color. So it was Terry v. Ohio that was used to end the stop, question, and frisk in New York City. So once again, Ernest, thank you for that, brother.
Yeah, thank you. I didn't know that.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Okay, so I'm going to move on to another topic that I want to discuss, and that has to do with the debate this week between Kamala Harris and Mike Pence. And I just need to know what your guys' thoughts were about that debate. Or did you watch it? Or did you... And what were your guys' thoughts? And Michelle just got reconnected. Sorry about that, Michelle.
No, it's okay.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, I was talking about the debate, the VP yes. debate this week, and I just wanted to know what y'all guys thought about that. I want to start with Gene. Gene, and what were your thoughts on how the debate went from a partisan perspective?
Okay, I thought there was a lot left on the table. I thought that Kamala had a chance to really go after Mike Pence. I don't think she pounded him enough on the COVID-19 response. I really think that she spent a lot of time upping Joe Biden. Okay, not to say that that's not the right thing to do, but to hear from you, because, you know, let's be honest, Joe Biden is 78 years old, which means that Kamala is one heart attack away from being the commander in chief. We want to hear from you.
Absolutely.
And I don't think she went after Mike Pence enough. And here's the one thing I look for. When Mike Pence calls her out on her record as the district attorney of San Francisco and the attorney general of California, and how she went after African-Americans and how high the incarceration rate was under her watch, that was her chance. After she defended her record, that was her chance to ask him, Vice President Pence, do you denounce the Proud Boys? Like, there was, I mean, I'm not even at that level, but it was so many questions. I myself, you know, do you denounce the Proud Boys? I felt like Kamala left a lot on the table as far as the obvious, the fly. I thought I was watching a horror movie, because it seems like in most horror movies, anytime something bad is about to happen, there are a bunch of flies that appear, you know. So once the fly landed on Mike Pence's head, I stood up and said, the power of Christ compels you.
Yeah. Right. Well, you know, shit attracts flies. So.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was the same thing, too. Yeah, he's the devil.
And he stayed there. Wow, that fly stood there for a good minute.
A big black fly, too, you know.
Yeah.
I'm dead around here. Yeah.
And then his left eye turned red, and I'm like, what's going on?
Right.
You know, but overall, Kamala won the debate. However, I felt like she could have really crushed it. You know, there's a difference between winning and crushing it. And she won, but she didn't crush it. She really didn't.
But don't you think that was pre-planned, though? I mean, the objective was do no harm.
Well, you can see in her face she wanted to. I think she wanted to, because you can see her expressions on her face with the smirks and the looks. But, you know, she stayed respectful. She stayed respectful.
Yeah, I think that was that was planned, Gene. I mean, that to me, you know, I mean, I would, you know, put in that type of situation, I would say, yeah, just do no harm. Keep it calm. You know, I mean, you know Kamala, you know, I've seen her in these hearings and stuff. You know that she can really get mean and she can hit you in the heart. All right? She can shoot an arrow at you. Mm-hmm. But I think
she don't want to be labeled as an angry black woman either.
I thought about that too.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think do no harm. Whatever you do, just don't mess it up. Just, you know.
Right. Right?
And I think that that's what she accomplished. That's my play on it.
No, but see, this is what I mean when I said that she left a lot on the table. At the opening of the debate, mm-hmm. the way that she presented her case was that we are fighting for the soul of our country. That our country, right. we have four more years under this man, we're going to hell in a handbasket. So don't tell me that you're right. fighting for the soul of this country and you are a seasoned trial attorney and you have this liar right. on the list. And you don't undress this liar. For those that do not know, for my vocation,
yes.
I am a court clerk. I sit mm-hmm. and listen to trials all day, 5 days right. a week. I know what prosecutors can do. They can
right,
have you.
Right.
They are so skilled, they can make you forget how to spell your own first name.
Mm.
That's
yeah.
what I'm talking about when I said
I get that.
She left too much meat on the bone.
I see. I agree with you. I mean, I saw it.
Yeah.
I agree with you. There's so many things out there she left on the table. She just left it. And I had to conclude, like I said, is that her job was just do no harm. All right. Because they already, you heard what Trump said, what the orange man said about her the next day, that she's a monster. And she didn't do much. She didn't even say much. Can you imagine she went down on the guy? So, you know, she...
Yeah,
I think that they were trying to appease a certain that independent. Yeah, I doubt whether there's very many independents out there now, but I guess they wanted to hold on to what they had. And I think they think that they do have the election going their way. So and that Kamala could be a threat to some people. It depends, you know. I think they're trying to hold on to those Midwesterners that they're trying to get. That's the way I look at it. I may be wrong, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, but I also think I kind of agree with Gene, and not so much of. I mean, I guess to the point of leaving too much meat on the bone, because there are ways that you can talk to somebody and like you said, and kind of disrobe them without putting your hands on them, you know, and even to a particular point of asking how does he manage his faith against, you know, lying or being, you know, not being forthright. Those are type of things that you know you can just ask in general. Like it has nothing to do with you going against something, but if someone is inciting violence or is encouraging something, how do you balance that with your own faith? I mean, I'm talking about Mike Pence's faith because he's the one supposed to be so devout, and he calls his wife mother, which is a whole nother, you know, situation. You know, there are things that could have been put out there. I also not just not leaving my stuff on them. I think that there was too much avoidance of certain questions, deviating from what the moderator was asking. When it comes down to independent voters, and there will always be independent voters, and I think there's probably even more independent voters now. And those individuals will either swing one way or another, but those individuals see things a certain way and they want direct responses.
All right. I want to talk about the census. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyway, the census is very important, whether people know it or not. You can't complain about your communities not receiving certain services when you're not counted. They don't know you need these services. If you're not, you know, if they don't know about how many people live in your household, how many people are in the community, you know, population in that community, you know, they have to realize the census is not something they just came up with. They started it. The first census was in 1850, and they do it every 10 years, 1815, 1860, 70, et cetera, et cetera. That's how they count people, and that's how you get funded for your neighborhood. So it is wise to fill out your census. And if you're trying to hide, they know where you are anyway, so it doesn't matter.
They're populated anyway. They know you, know you're there.
I mean, unless you're somebody that doesn't pay taxes, don't have a social security number, living under the radar, you know, underground, that's different. But believe you me, they know who you are, where you are. But if you're not requesting the funding, you're not going to receive anything for your neighborhood. You can look at all the other neighborhoods, how well they're doing. Like if you go into Target, you're not going to find certain things like mountain gear in a black neighborhood. If you know, you'll see it, and they categorize each neighborhood what's needed for each area. Right. So, you know, people just got to use their senses, just like voting. I'll get back on voting in a little bit, because we've had where our ancestors and leaders prior to us from the 60s, they fought for this right to vote. You know, you not voting thinking it's not going to count. They do count. It does count. You know, your vote does matter. And, you know, you're being very ignorant. You want to say you're a U.S. citizen. You want to go out there and protest, but you're not voting. You know, you're contradicting what you're doing. So vote. Your vote matters. Make a difference in life and vote. You know, if you're a U.S. citizen, do your part.
Absolutely.
Well, actually, absolutely. I wanted to add to that, to clarify. So even undocumented citizens, or, you know, the word, the official term of being illegal aliens.
Right.
Even if you're undocumented and in the country, still fill out the census. Because again, it gives an accurate count of right. who is in the area.
Right.
The census is not a tool used against anyone who actually submits it. Again, to Michelle's point, there is no social security that's on there. It is only accounting for the physical bodies that are in that particular area. Homeless. Right. Individuals are able to fill out the census as well. And yes. they are able to vote. They are able to go down. They're able to get a P.O. box or a physical address, whether it be at the post office or otherwise. They can be assigned and they can fill out the census as well, because oftentimes those who are homeless, those who are undocumented, will go under the radar. However, right. they're still utilizing facilities. Many of them are on social services. Many of them are taking, you know, are using other benefits or whatever, or some that who are undocumented are in our schools. And there's no right. problem with that, but they do need to be counted for, so that when the school board is fighting for funds, when social yes. services is fighting for funds,
right.
those funds can Thank be you. Accurately accounted for to be able to cover those individuals that live in that exactly. area, in that locality.
That's right. Got Jane back. Yeah. I'm sorry. Great. Ernest, give the website again. I'm going to type it in the bottom in the message board.
Oh, my2020census.gov.
Great. Awesome. Okay, we got it in there.
And it will, and to Greg's point, it does come up as just 2020census.gov. But my2020census.gov.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Okay.
Yeah. Gene attempted to come back in, but he couldn't.
Okay.
So, all right. Okay. I'm going to leave it as is.
Thank him. He can listen in. Gene, if you have anything you want to add, you can type it in if you like. I'll repeat what you say.
Okay. So, let's move to the next topic.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, Michelle, were you done? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Mm-hmm. I'm good.
No, I wanted to move on now to Trump and COVID. Having COVID, and any comments from y'all guys? I know I hate to bring up the orange man around Michelle, but you know.
Well, I'll comment first, just to get it over with. you know, I really think it was a hoax, you know, to deflate from him messing up at the debate, being disrespectful, not following the rules, and two, you know, to avoid talking about his taxes, you know. That it was just a distraction and sympathy, you know, because he screwed up. So that's just my opinion.
Okay. Anybody else?
Short and sweet.
Yeah, my opinion is not too far off. I think, you know, whether he had it or not, any of these, all of these theatrics by now are, it's like three card money. He wants us to watch, you know, look in another direction and not see what's obvious and get distracted by what the issues are. And the biggest issue to me in this election is this man is incapable.
Right.
He wants to take the attention off of that. Mm-hmm. And all kind of distractions. But the bottom line, to me, what we focus on is the fact that this guy is incapable. He should have never been in there from the start. He's right. Not a statesman. He's in the wrong place. Period. Yeah. Point blank. Yeah. And there's no other. You know, he turns back any professionals, people that know their job. He disputes right. anything they say. Medical, military, intelligence. He mm-hmm. no value. The only opinion that counts is his. He is blatantly not in the best interest of our country. So don't take your eye off that. Get out, vote, and then we'll go from there. We got other stuff we need to fix, but I think the priority right now is getting him out of there, and we can work on everything else later.
I agree.
All right, well, tell me, what do you think about how the Republicans have stood in line behind this guy, knowing that he was, you know, it was what he was doing or what he is doing is bad for the country, but they prefer to have their jobs or they have issues that are very close and dear to them. For instance, let's take, you know, abortion rights. All right. Now, I know a lot of people, you know, they're against a woman having an abortion. All right. That may be a issue, a front and center issue for them. All right. And Trump represents a solution to that problem and getting Roe v. Wade reversed. So they're going to stick with him. All right. But it's, you can get somebody else. What I'm saying is you don't have to stick with the devil just to get your issue addressed. That's what I don't understand is how cowardly, you know, Republicans are. How can you stick behind a man because of one issue or some issues that, or, you know, like I said, that you like, you know, everything is issue driven. What's in it for me? Okay. So what's in it for them is, okay, I got this issue, and then the primarily conservative issues. Mm-hmm. But this issue over here, you know, the 16-week abortion thing, I forgot the title, the name of the procedure that they do. Mm-hmm. And you believe that all life is precious, and this and that's there, therefore, you're going to vote for Trump. I understand you, but why him? He's worse. I mean, get somebody else.
I mean, I don't think it's who he is. I think the Republicans don't want to give up the office. You know, they.
I don't think
when you think about it's not, and you know the seats, the Supreme Court judges, you know, they're dominating right now. They don't want to give that up. But also, I think Trump has put us in some serious situations that the public doesn't even know about. You know, with the Russians. Yeah, you know, you know, it's just a lot of things that the public does not know behind the scenes and what goes on in politics, you know, and for him to go to these lengths of trying to win the election and the buffoonery and, you know, the dominating and the controlling and, you know, like he's like Hitler, you know, Pence is just as bad, you know, they just. When you look at it, look at the political history, you know, they keep office for 8 years, you know.
Go ahead, Ernest.
Yeah, definitely.
I got you. All right. So as it relates to abortion being one of the topics and why individuals are blindly loyal, it actually happens on both sides because I don't think anyone's intellectually actually talking about the seriousness of preserving life or the preserving the right to choose.
you know, so that, I mean, there's a balance in between there. Does anybody agree, and I'm not asking anyone to answer this, do you agree that it's okay to have an abortion in the ninth month for no reason at all, other than the fact that it's your right to choose to do so? Most will probably sit there and say no. Okay, do you believe that it should happen immediately? Okay, most will say no. So where's the balance at? And I think that's one of the things that's missing is the ability for us to be able to have an intellectual debate about subjects that are very sensitive and in many cases very personal to us, and then figure out where that middle ground is at. Okay. Right. Is it going to please everybody in every situation? No, it most certainly will not. But there's a way for us to reach a happy medium. And that's where we need to get back to.
Right.
You being a Republican or a Democrat matters not. It matters about what the people need and being able to make those decisions together.
Right.
I agree. I think that's what
politicians forgot. You know, it's about the people.
I mean, you know, I can sit here and I can wave the flag and say, well, country first. Well, country should be first. I mean, if you talk about, okay, my ancestors fought for this country and fought for us to have the right, all right, to choose, all right, to vote, our representatives in that represent our issues, all right?
Right.
But if you see someone that's blatantly lying and doing all of these things, inciting hate groups to act, you know, I don't understand, regardless of the issue, how you can support such a person. To me, it's cowardly. You want your job just so that way you can get voted back in, all right, because you're afraid. That's cowardly.
I can tell you this much. And this happens, I know, I'm sure it happens in New York. I'm aware of it in Philadelphia, in Chicago, in many areas. A lot of individuals have dirty hands. And if I know that you done did X, Y, and Z, well, you're going to vote for me or I'm airing that out. Oh, the females, the young ladies that came to your house, or you cheated on your husband, or you have an outside child, or you have this, you owe this person this, you owe this person that. A lot of individuals are tied to so many different things that they've done.
Right.
That's the reason why they can't, many people can't stand up. So the individuals who have maintained their integrity in most areas, nobody's perfect, right? But those who maintain their integrity sound like a lone wolf and don't, because they're not with the crowd. I mean, there are many things that you can see that Democrats probably should have stepped up for and been more vocal about, right? You can tout about the 94 Crimes Act bill, but there were individuals on that side who signed it, right? Yes. And supported it.
Right. Yep.
And then there's abortion laws. And one thing, when it comes down to abortion laws, many of those laws are state laws, not federal laws. Roe v. Wade is the law of the land, but you got to look at the state laws. So you need to look at your local, your state legislators and confront them, not what's happening here in D.C.
Right.
So right. I mean, so I think the other thing is too, it's not that that our elected officials have lost the understanding of the power of the people. The people have lost the notion of power of the people and being and having our issues be represented, because those individuals got elected by us, or the lack of the fact that we didn't go and vote in the first place. So there's, I mean, how can you hold them accountable? I mentioned this before. When you think about the structure of things, those who are elected are public servants.
Correct.
So absolutely. Therefore, they work for us. But if you're an employer and you don't know how to run your business, then your employees will do whatever they want to do.
Right.
So keep collecting their checks.
Right. So what you're saying is that the Republicans, let's take, for instance, the Senate, that stand in line and do the bidding of Trump. that they're an extension of the people that, well, I know that all politics is local, so they're representing their electorate, their local electorate that voted them in.
Well,
is that what you're saying?
No. So what I'm saying is Republican or Democrat, right? Some of those individuals are voting the party, not the people. So again, when it comes down to the fact that individuals who didn't speak up in certain situations aren't speaking on behalf of the people because the people wanted them to speak up. And those are, and again, on either side.
Right.
Because you can see it time and time again. Like, why did they not do this? Why did they not do that? But here's the other piece. Here's one real important piece when it comes back to circle around to voting and when it circles around to the census. One, the census would have given us more individuals to being able to vote for those that we wanted to vote for. If we had voted the way that we need that you should have, you could have had control of both the House and the Senate. So when the impeachment came up, you wouldn't have had a delay.
If you had the Senate,
you wouldn't have to worry about a confirmation next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
Because Gene, you would have had control.
But go ahead. No, that's a good point that you're making. I think we're making the same point, but we're coming from two different directions.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to tie it all together because I don't think it does anybody any good to sit there to for the label part of Republican or Democrat, because again, there's action on one side, there's inaction on the other side, and it doesn't matter which side that you look at it from, right? So and I think to your point, well, when you were sitting there talking about the fact of, you know, again, this blind level of loyalty, you know, or being able to see somebody who's doing something blatantly wrong and not calling them out for it. There's too many times that individuals have accepted behaviors, you know, and not sit there and say, I mean, again, like, I think like even tonight, like we said, you know, Kamala, she could have said more, she could have done this, she could have done that. And then sit there and say, oh, she was absolutely perfect. And, you know, and there was absolutely nothing wrong. No, we can be critical and without being anti or being, you know, inflammatory or being malicious about how we do the critiques. You know, I think that's something that we have to be able to get back to. You got to be able to call it like it is. And for those who come from New York or whatever case it be, like you used to being a straight shooter. But then when you talk about politics or your favorite person or whatever, now it's all this favoritism and oh, this person is, you know, the greatest thing since sliced bread. And that's not the case.
Absolutely. Right. No, I see your point. But it just irks me. I mean, it really... To see that someone like Trump, and I say someone like Trump, I don't know. I mean, Trump, from what I've seen and the results I've seen, the guy is not a leader. He's not a manager. He has no foresight. He's not proactive. I mean, any other person would have gone
no
down.
Political background. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Moving forward, I think they need to put in place qualifications for a president as well, because you need more qualifications to work at McDonald's. You should at least have some political background, you know, at least a degree or some kind of experience as a politician to run for office first and foremost. It shouldn't be anyone. I mean, remember back when he first came into office, all of the craziness of all of the people that were running for office. It was unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable that most of those people did not have political background. They should have qualifications and some kind of ethical qualifications like Trump. I mean, how many marriages has he had? He's a womanizer, a pervert.
Right.
You know, I mean, you got a mail order bride that was an alien. You know, as soon as he got in office, the first thing he did was attack immigrants when his wife and her parents were immigrants. You know, I mean, it's just, there's no limitation when it comes to white people. You know,
yeah,
look how hard they were on Obama.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
I mean, look at the shit he had to go through and the shit he went through while in office. No, he was not perfect.
I think sometimes, you know, these folks, politicians, and like Ernest was saying, politicians on both sides. I don't know if you remember watching All the President's Men, you know, back quite a bit ago.
Yeah,
and one of the key phrases in that movie was, follow the money.
Yeah.
And once you get to a certain level, I think it becomes extremely lucrative to be a politician. Mm-hmm. Extremely lucrative. So morals get thrown out after a while. Everybody got their certain limits. Morals get thrown out. It's what's going to serve your financial purpose. You got to keep the Drake gravy train rolling. And so many of those Republicans that called him every name under the book while he was running and before he was running, when it was still up for grabs, once it became apparent that he was the Republican Party, he was the choice the Republican Party was making, they hitched their wagon to him because it was financially lucrative. And it's not, that's not an exclusive Republican thing. It's the same thing in the Democratic side. So once you get to a certain level, I think it's that you're going to vote your party depending on how it impacts you and financially, regardless of what's right. Like Ernest said, you could care less about your people in. So you can vote. You can, if there was a Republican, if Republicans had chosen a monkey to run and he served their financial interests, they're going to back him. Whatever that monkey did, they're going to go. And, you know, here we are. That no matter how moral or unprofessional or unstatesmanlike this guy is, we're following him until the wheels fall off. And then as soon as the wheels fall off, we're going to say we never liked that dude in the first place.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Money talks. Mm-hmm. Okay, Let's see.
Okay. So I've been chomping at the bit because I don't know what happened, but for the last 20 minutes, I can hear everyone on this podcast, but you all, Walter, you couldn't hear me calling in. And when you did see me flash on your screen, I must have disappeared.
You did.
I left the podcast to text Michelle to her phone, and then I just did a reboot on my phone.
Great. Well, you're back. So, welcome back. It's all good.
Yeah. In the words of the Honorable Maxine Walters, I'm here to reclaim my time.
You're reclaiming your time.
Yeah, okay. I'm reclaiming my time.
All right.
It's your time now.
but with respect to the census, thank you, Greg and Ernest, for giving the website for the my2020census.com. As far as the deadline is going to be October 31st. That's the true regulation. Trump administration, they're the ones that push for that September 30th deadline.
But, okay.
Trump can't change law. He can't change law. So the deadline is October 31st. But once again, people, do not wait until the absolute last minute to fill out your census. It's short. It's just a few questions and that's it. As far as the importance of the census, it has a lot to do with federal resources coming to your neighborhood, coming to your district. I'm not sure whether that was Ernest or Greg that spoke about that, but you know, I'll give you an example of the importance. Back in 2010, there were roughly 130,000 people living within the 79th Assembly District, but only 55,000 filled out the census. So whatever federal funding or federal grants that are going to be given to the 79th, it's going to be based upon that 55,000, not that 130,000. Okay. Also, the remapping of your district. If you like your city council member, if you like your assembly member, if you like your state senator, if you like your U.S. Congress member, and you're happy with them and you support them and you vote for them, guess what? If you don't fill out the census, they will remap your district. And you may lose that elected official. Now, for the city council in New York and the state assembly, it's 150,000 per district. For the congressional seat, it's 625,000 per district. So if you don't fill out the census, you won't count as far as that number that falls under that district for that elected official. So you may get mapped out of that district and end up with somebody that's a lot more undesirable than what you have. Lastly, and this is important, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a Democrat, but because it's true. And anybody can fact check me and go to, I already gave my Facebook page. You can fact check me and go to my Facebook page and call me a big fat liar if this doesn't add up for you. Once they do the statistical analysis on the census, historically, Democratic presidents have always added to the number because they know that that particular number may not be true. What did I just said? 55,000 filled out the census. How many live there? 130,000. See, the Democratic presidents know that. So they always add to that number. So if they submit 55,000, they'll say to themselves, no, I think it's more closer to 75,000. So now the federal funding is going to reflect that of 75,000 residents. What the Republicans do, they subtract. They say, I believe that number is inflated. It's not 55,000 people there. It's 40,000 people there. Thus is the basis for the nomenclature conservative. What are they being conservative about? The monies that are going to be dispersed. So it's right. So voting and the census are synonymous. You know, you want resources in your community, you better vote Democrat. You want resources in your community, you better fill out that 2020 census. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Gene. A lot of things in there I didn't know, really. So I don't know whether you heard towards it when you got had your technical difficulties, whether you got a chance to hear what we were discussing about how you know, parties fall in line, you know, how the Republicans are falling in line behind Trump when they know it's wrong. They're not calling him out. But I think that the rationale that Ernest brought out about, okay, you know, it's my interest, and also Greg, you know, you're going to vote your interest. And if my interest is to follow Trump, then, you know, ergo, I'm going to follow Trump. So that's where we were. I wanted to know whether you had any comments along the lines of, you know, why the Republicans are lockstep in line with Trump when they know the guy's wrong on a lot of issues. Whether you could comment on that.
They've been doing this since the 18th, 19th century. Wealthy white men have convinced poor white people that I understand that you're poor, but at least you're not black. That is the meanest mind game that I have ever seen. The only lie that's greater than that is that Satan managed to convince the world that he doesn't exist.
Wow.
Okay. The only thing that I can compare that to, you know, so it's still working to this day. You know, when you watch documentaries, when they go to these Trump rallies, and you listen to them talk to these Trump supporters, these people are not only ignorant of the law, but they're ignorant of the process and they're ignorant of their own poverty. But you know what? It's okay. At least I'm not black, you know? So, you know, that's their mindset. So it's not even their interest. It's about having a white man in power that, you know, sees things their way, at least to them. You know, things like, stand back and stand by, boys. You know, that was a rallying cry for them.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have to give them another stimulus check. As long as he tells them, stand back and stand by, boys. Wait for my command. Right. You know, they are fine with that. As far as voting interest, a couple of years ago, an edict came out from Governor Cuomo. I believe it went into effect on May 1st, 2018. And the men's ministry of my church, this is the Pilgrim Cathedral of Harlem, we went on a crusade to register ex-felons. We would go to programs and halfway houses and things of that nature because Governor Cuomo had passed an edict that if you were an ex-felon, he would pardon you. he'd give a partial pardon so that way you can vote in the election. Now, at the time, Cynthia Nixon, you know, although people didn't think that she was a formidable foe, she, you know, she wasn't bad. She was saying some things that I liked. But I told them, I said, look, I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm just telling you who is trying to help restore your rights. Now that you have the partial pardon, let's go ahead and write letters and go ahead and go for the full restoration of your voting rights if you're an ex-felon or if you're on parole. Mm-hmm. And, you know, many of the men were very receptive to it, and they filled out the voter registration card and they voted, and Cuomo won. I'm not going to say that, you know, that was the sole reason, or, you know, I was a champion for the cause of his reelection. But, you know, in that case, I'm talking to men that didn't have the right to vote, and there's a candidate that's given them the right to vote. So in that matter, yes, you're voting your interest. But as far as the Trump supporters, I don't see where they would vote for things that are in the best interest of themselves and their family and their neighbor. You know, it's just unconscionable in certain ways. But, you know, most of these people, you know, live in a somnambulistic state. And if anybody wants to know what somnambulistic means, that's the clinical term for sleepwalking. You know, and most of these people are sleepwalking. So, you know, mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you just can't explain things to people. You know, the old right. saying, talking through a wall, it's just nonsensical to even bother. You know, even trying to understand their rationale. I think I went too far right now trying to explain their rationale.
I don't want to put you in the spot.
You just can't understand. But, you know, thank you, Walter and Michelle, for allowing me to reclaim my time. Now, Ernest.
Thank you, District Leader. Yes, thank you, District Leader.
Thank you, Gene. All right.
Okay. So, anyway, guys, I think that we push past the clock a little bit. Will be published Sunday after 3 p.m. Onto our podcast platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast. But, you know, I want to thank the panel, Ernest, Greg. I want to thank City, District Leader Gene Edwards of the Bronx for joining us and giving us this insight from a political, active political player perspective. He's there. He's in it. Yeah. And especially, you know, my co-host, she's part of what we do, you know, so.
Thank you.
And with that said, I'm going to turn it over to Michelle to take us out and wish all y'all guys a safe and happy weekend. And we'll see you next week. Hopefully y'all can rejoin us next week. Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you, Walter. Thank you to our panel, Gene Anthony Edwards Jr. Thank you to Ernest Johnson and Greg Coleman, our regular panel guests. We thank our weekly audience for joining us live. You can find us at www.thewaltweekly.podbean.com and social media at IG and Facebook, The Walt Weekly. We are on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Podcast, Spotify, and other streaming platforms. Please tell your friends. We are trying to reach 1,000 followers. To follow The Walt Weekly on Podbean, make a difference, fill out your census, and vote, folks. Make a change. Be safe. Have a great weekend.
All right. Take care.
Everybody.
All right.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Thank you for joining The Walt Weekly. We can be found at Facebook, The Walt Weekly Podcast, Twitter, at Walt Weekly, Instagram, The Walt Weekly, and www.thewaltweekly.podbean.com. Please like, follow, and share.